WMRA News. I'm Bob Levy. Those injured in the Unite the Right rally 2 years ago will get a chance to face in court the white supremacists who they say brought violence to Charlottesville. Virginia Democrats say they will pass the ERA, but what happens after that? And we take a look at Virginia's historical claim to the Thanksgiving tradition. This is the WMRA Daily for Thursday, November 28th. A lawsuit filed on behalf of people in Charlottesville injured by white supremacist violence 2 years ago is headed to trial. A federal judge this week set a trial date of October next year in the lawsuit against prominent white supremacists, neo-Nazis, and hate groups that were involved with the August 2017 Unite the Right rally. The civil lawsuit accuses the defendants of engaging in a violent conspiracy to violate the rights of peaceful counter-demonstrators. A lawyer for the plaintiffs said Wednesday that her clients are eager to go forward with a public jury trial. The defendants had sought to have the lawsuit dismissed. Unemployment is low in Virginia, and state officials say the economy remains solid, but Governor Ralph Northam is still urging caution as he proposes a new state budget next month. From VPM News, Ben Pavier reports.
While the economic news remains mostly good, Governor Northam says he isn't ready to go on a spending spree in the upcoming state budget.
I've always taken a cautiously optimistic approach, and that's where we are now.
Economists have been warning about a recession for years now, but the state is so far collecting about 8% more revenue than it expected since the start of the fiscal year in July. Secretary of Finance Aubrey Lane says it's not clear whether that trend will hold. If it does, he thinks the state should put the extra money in reserves.
I think prudence would be the best course of action.
The governor says workforce training and early childhood education will be two top priorities in his budget. He'll lay out those plans in more detail on December 17th.
That's Ben Pavier from VPM News reporting. As Democrats prepare to take power in Richmond in January, one of their top priorities will be passing the Equal Rights Amendment. But what happens after that? Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope explains.
Here's the problem with the Equal Rights Amendment. It had a deadline, and that deadline expired back in the 1980s. So even if the General Assembly passes the ERA next year as expected, Virginia legal expert Rich Kelsey says it's a zombie amendment.
Can Congress go back and revive a patient who has been dead for 37 years? And I think the answer legally is no.
And yet reviving that old amendment is exactly what Senators Mark Warner and Tim Kaine are hoping to do, supporting a bill that would remove the deadline. Appearing on the Kojo Namdi show on WAMU this week, Kaine says there's no reason amendments should be required to have a deadline.
There are amendments in the Constitution, believe it or not, that to get to the number of states to ratify took 100 years. But when they finally got there, it became part of the Constitution.
But will the ERA get anywhere in a Republican-controlled Senate? Bluntly, Kaine admits any movement on the bill does not seem likely, not while Republicans are in control of the Senate. I'm Michael Pope.
When the House of Delegates convenes in January, Virginia will welcome the first woman clerk in its 400-year history. Democratic Delegate Eileen Fillercorn is set to be the next House Speaker and the first woman to hold that role, and this week she announced that she has picked Suzette Denslow to be the House Clerk when next year's session starts. Denslow served as Deputy Chief of Staff to Governors Ralph Northam and Terry McAuliffe. The clerk serves as the official keeper of the rolls of the House and is a key administrative position. The House of Delegates and its earlier versions have had clerks dating back to 1619. Past clerks include George Wythe, who signed the Declaration of Independence, and Edmund Randolph, the first U.S. Attorney General. Earlier this year, the city of Norfolk voted to sell waterfront property to the Pamunkey tribe in the tribe's latest effort to build a casino. But a new state report on gaming in Virginia has raised concerns for one city official and for the tribe. Virginia Public Radio's Pamela DeAngelo reports.
In September, Norfolk City Councilwoman Andrea McClellan was the lone dissenter when the city voted to sell 13 acres of waterfront property along the Elizabeth River. She said she was neither for or against the sale, but wanted the council to have more information on the deal before making a decision.
After having read the GLAR report, I have more questions now than I've ever had.
The Pamunkey said the tribe has its own concerns about the report's recommendations to the General Assembly. Tribal spokesman Jay Smith said it may put them on equal footing with a commercial out-of-state casino operator looking to turn a profit.
The Pamunkey are not pursuing gaming for the sake of gaming. They're pursuing gaming for the sake of financial independence, so they're not having to be reliant on the federal government programs, and so they can provide a better life for their members.
Meantime, a group that opposes the sale is submitting a petition with more than 3,000 signatures asking the city council to reconsider the sale and hold public hearings. McClellan said the council needs to take its time and acquire more information before taking another vote on the sale.
Listen, if this is a good deal, and if it is the best deal for Norfolk, it should withstand the light of day.
The city council plans to hold at least two public hearings, possibly next month. I'm Pamela D'Angelo.
Finally, today, Americans sit down to a big family meal traditionally connected with the history of the Pilgrims in Massachusetts. But as Virginia Public Radio's Mallory Nopain reports, Virginia has a correction to the Thanksgiving historical record.
Graham Woodleaf says it was his ancestor, Captain John Woodleaf, who actually held the first Thanksgiving. The year was 1619, and the captain had landed in Virginia. Part of the instructions in his land grant from the Berkeley Company was to hold an annual service in thanks to God for a safe voyage.
Well, it was a simple prayer service in the middle of the winter on the banks of the James River. There was no food. There were no Native Americans.
That history, though, has long taken a back seat to the story of the Pilgrims. In fact, in 1962, President John Kennedy issued a Thanksgiving proclamation that didn't even mention Virginia. A state senator wrote to the president to correct the record. The presidential historian wrote right back, saying,
"It was due to our unconquerable New England bias on the part of the White House staff, and it would be corrected in the next proclamation," and it certainly was.
And so, in Kennedy's 1963 proclamation, Virginia's Thanksgiving was listed before Massachusetts. I'm Mallory Nopain.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. I'm grateful that you're listening today, and I hope you enjoy your Thanksgiving.